Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of March, recording at 9:23 p.m. Now, I'm in danger of losing my voice here today, and I haven't actually been shouting, honestly. But I will apologize for the croakiness, the unusually croakiness, but I persevere here, hopefully without too many interruptions. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and capitulation is the word that summarizes much of what has taken place, and then maybe a wee bit of redemption? Well, let's see. First, Asian stock markets mostly hit pretty hard in here today. And I think I was about to say that they were all down, but I noticed that Japan's Nikkei was just unchanged on the day. European markets were hit fairly hard, bounced a little bit because when Wall Street wasn't doing too badly, but then weakened again as Wall Street sold off. Among the bigger decliners in here, the DAX index. Why didn't I hold on to my short? It was a good idea. Down 2.17% today at 6,545. Wall Street was the most interesting story because it was Wall Street weakness that was spooking investors elsewhere, along with, it must be said, I think the runaway bandwagon move that we were seeing in commodities, and then the dollar's everyday decline seemed to may well have contributed to some of the sentiment recently. But Wall Street, at one point, the Dow must have been down, well, it was a fairly hefty decline, certainly 225 points, and then it came back, clawed back, recouped most of that decline. The Dow still closed down 45 points, but near the highs of the day. S&P was down 4.5. The NASDAQ composite actually closed out with a very small gain on the day. And government bonds, prices were firmer in Europe, but weaker in the U.S. The dollar is down today, but only slightly. And where the capitulation came in, and it really started as Wall Street headed south rapidly. And what I should mention, well, no, I'll get back to that technically on Wall Street. We saw some sharp profit taking in the resources sector. Now, that included precious metals, where we saw a fairly big turnaround here today. Gold, for instance, spot gold got up to 988.20 and then fell back to 957 and is currently trading down $20. At 963.66, and that was fairly typical of the action that we saw in precious metals. And we had some big setbacks in the grain and bean complex. I just hesitated there, and did I get that right? Well, we had a lot of retracement of profits. I should say they roared ahead, and then came. Came back down, gave up most of those gains. Industrial metals also reversed some gains in here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I've mentioned in the last few days that I felt that bear traders were having a real go in here, and the reason for that is that, as you know, the U.S. stock market indices and the European stock market indices had rallied up to the higher side of their trading ranges. In other words, their recent trading ranges, they got up towards those February highs and a little above in some instances, but couldn't hold it. And then I think that message to a number of traders, if they couldn't hold those gains or couldn't break out on the upside of those patterns, that they were going to have a look at underlying supports. And that's what we've seen. And I think what also definitely contributed to the selling pressure, and I think I touched on this, but it's a point needs to be mentioned again, the runaway uptrends in the commodity markets were certainly a concern. Okay, so interestingly, what the Dow and the S&P did in here today was that they intraday they moved underneath their February lows within the current trading ranges, not the January lows, but they moved beneath the February lows, but didn't hold those moves, so left a lot of tail on the candlestick charts in recovering most of the day's losses. Now, so what? Some of you who are less familiar with charts may say, and good question. But I think that having seen, as I say, some more capitulation selling, not least by bear traders in here. Well, no, capitulation selling by some long holders, and certainly some aggressive selling by bear traders. My hunch is that it was more of the latter, aggressive selling by bear traders. I think most of the longs who are going to capitulate have probably already done so, or would be holding off unless the January lows were taken out if they're going to capitulate. Now, today's rebound by Wall Street would certainly require some follow-through to mean anything on the charts. My feeling is, and I'm getting emails, the moment markets are weak for a few days, or then I start getting some quite bearish emails coming through. Technically, markets are at best in a range. It's a fragile environment overall, and I think for the most part, well, I'm not in the big bear market camp, as you know, except for the sectors that have already been devastated, such as financial shares. And I think many of those are now recovery candidates, but likely to see a long convalescence. And I really do want to emphasize the long convalescence, because I think that a number of these markets are going to range sideways for some fair time. And I have said that I don't think we're going to get into that nice, easy, consistent, rolling sort of uptrend environment that we saw from 2003, really second quarter 2003, really into the beginning of this year. I don't think we're going to see that environment for quite some time. Now, if that's disappointing, then you know that markets can't do that all the time. And if they have a good trending phase, then you get sort of a denouement, and you get sharp corrections. And we've even seen some bear markets in property and financial sectors and some individual stock markets around the world, but by no means all of them. But we're in a different environment here, and I maintain that the whole credit crunch situation, which obviously was a fundamental change from what we were seeing in the earlier years that I referred to, that 2003 through 2006 period that I mentioned a moment ago, that the credit crunch certainly has changed the fundamental environment for a while. That is frightening and has taken a toll for so many stock markets. And it's also being encountered by huge infusions of liquidity, pretty well everywhere around the world. And it is also being countered by some sharply lower interest rates in the U.S. And that's important, I feel. Certainly, as the United States economy has been the epicenter of global risk for quite some time. I described it in those terms, I believe, well before last year's credit problems really broke sharply. And The U.S. is certainly going to remain a major concern for some time, but I tend to feel that most of that bad news is out of the way. And, there's every day we're saying, people saying, well, is the U.S. economy in recession or is it not in recession? Well, let's summarize. I think I can summarize in this fairly easily. The domestic economy is dead in the water. That is in severe recession. And that's not going to change anytime quickly. On the other hand, I've described the U.S. as a two-tier economy previously. On the other hand, you have the multinational export companies, which are doing extremely well because the rest of the world is not in anywhere near the dire shape or most of the rest of the world, at any rate, is in nowhere near the dire straits that we see with the U.S. economy right now. And those big international, very successful U.S. multinational companies that derive probably most of their earnings from overseas are doing extremely well. And I think that will continue to be the case. So that's the overall background. And incidentally, when recessions become official, they're almost invariably over. Whether or not we'll actually get the recession being confirmed as official or not, a couple of quarters from now is not all that significant a point. I think what is significant is what I've just mentioned is that two-tier economic structure. Now, if I was investing in the U.S. and I'm not, but if I was, I would certainly be buying the multinational companies, which are consolidating overseas earnings in weak U.S. dollars. And that weak dollar has been a bonanza for them in terms of those consolidated earnings. And they're good companies. Now, what about fuller money themes? Well, the resources have been doing absolutely fine. If I have way underestimated Wall Street's downside risk, and a lot of people think I have, I'm sticking to my line that technically my discipline is not a line, I suppose it's a technical discipline, or it's a line on the chart perhaps, that as long as January's lows, intraday lows, hold, the last really important thing that happened in global stock markets was that selling climax in January. Now, therefore, those January lows need to be taken out to reconfirm the overall downward trends. Meanwhile, I would expect, whether that happens or not, I would expect plenty of ranging overall. closes below the January intraday reaction lows would certainly alarm a number of people, and it would open the door to possibly another significant sell-off overall. But on the other hand, it could also be a limited downside move and no real follow-through. I've said before that I think that for these for these Western markets that we're probably in the beginning of the bottoming out phase. And I'm going to repeat myself by emphasizing that we have seen some slower economic growth. We have seen a fundamental change in terms of the credit problems, which has inevitably slowed growth. It has inevitably extended, therefore, the cycle. It slowed the cycle of economic development. And I think that will be reflected in ranging market patterns really for quite some time. But the tendency overall is for most of these fuller money themes, long-term secular themes, and I would summarize those again by or as the Asian progressing markets. That's my classification for what I feel are the dated terms of emerging markets that people generally generally use. And so that sector, global resources, clearly the also the global infrastructure boom, and these are self-feeding themes as commodity exporting countries, for instance, earn huge revenue from their exports at today's prices. They plow a lot of that back into infrastructure development, and the big industrial powerhouses, having embraced capitalism in the last 10 or 20 years, are producing the fastest growth that we see in the world. Those are very exciting long-term themes, in my opinion. Now, the weak spots recently in the fuller money themes have been Shindia, China, and India, and that inevitably alarms quite a few people. If you take a long view on this, and I certainly am from my investment standpoint, the more these markets react, the more interesting they become over the long term. Forecasting is a hazardous business, and one that I'm involved in on a daily basis. And as are many of you listening to this broadcast, I think one of the safer forecasts that I can make is that if we say what parts of the world are going to lead the GDP growth stakes over the next 10 to 20 years. In other words, which economies are going to have the fastest GDP growth, and therefore which economies are going to have the fastest rate of growth in corporate profits, and therefore which economies are going to record the best stock market gains overall. And to me, all the pointers head in Asia's direction, with the resources sectors doing exceptionally well also. Okay, government bonds. I think the rally is a little bit ripe in here, particularly if we do get stock markets pushing back up in closer to the February high portions of their ranges. I don't think long-dated government bonds offer good value. I think there is some good value in the corporate bond sector, but I would be in no hurry to go rushing in there, because there are also a fair number of problems in the corporate bond sector related to the related to leverage, related to the credit crunch, and I don't doubt that there will be some spectacular, or at least noteworthy, defaults in that corporate bond sector. So that almost inevitably happens when there's a major deleveraging taking place in parts of the economy and in the markets. Now, what about these resources? Well, I've described that gold cycle as in the latter stages of this medium-term move, but gold hasn't accelerated in here. The others certainly did, and it's not guaranteed that gold will accelerate in this medium-term cycle, but it's not an unreasonable guess that it will. So I think the factors that have supported these precious metals are still in play, albeit latent in terms of this medium-term cycle. At the moment, I was stopped out of my remaining precious metals positions in here today, actually. So I'm on the sidelines, and I'm going to tread cautiously in here after a rather good run, which I hope many of you have participated in. Gold shares have lagged behind the performance. In mining shares generally have, well, I'll put it, precious metal Mining shares have lagged behind the performance of the commodities, largely because of stock market jitters generally. I expect those shares to catch up at some point, but it may not be until confidence in global stock markets is considerably firmer than it is today. In other words, stock markets are short on animal spirits, except among the bear traders, but they're a little bit more cautious than they were previously, having faced some dramatic squeezes, particularly starting on the 22nd of January, as you know. Meanwhile, that two-way war between supply and demand in the markets continues, creating a somewhat choppy, somewhat unnerving environment overall. In the returning to the resources, what is a concern here, and others know more about this than I, and I'll hope to have more information on this before too long, but this big fashion for commodity investment, which has caused a lot of people to go into these commodity tracking funds, this is going to cause, I think is causing some problems, which we will be hearing about shortly. And that's because more money has flown into these markets than there really is liquidity to support all this. So as one expert put it to me recently, the funds, by their presence, and a lot of people who say, well, I just want to play the food story, I don't want to buy the futures contracts on a leveraged basis, I want to go in on an unleveraged basis in one of these tracker commodity funds, that these have driven up futures prices, and this is causing a bit of havoc as far as the actual trade, the traditional businesses that deal in these markets are concerned. And I think this is most definitely a developing problem that is going to have to be addressed at some point. We can't have Goldman Sachs tracker funds, in other words, cornering the market in foodstuffs. Or if we do, it'll cause all kinds of ructions in the functioning of these crucial markets. Crude oil, that got walloped in here today as well, had been up at 103.33, currently 99.92. That's still a high price, but you see we had a bit of respite in the commodity inflation in here today. I think that's pretty much it today. I have a lot of important engagements here tomorrow. I will be producing a little bit of copy, but most of it will be coming from Owen, including tomorrow's audio, which I'm sure you won't want to miss. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.